Welcome to Signal Noise Weekly. I'm your editor. This week, Trump in Beijing, a missile test out of Moscow, and a cruise ship nobody wanted to be on. Let's get into it.
And a California mayor pleading guilty to being a Chinese agent. Just casually, midweek.
Midweek, like it was a zoning dispute. Okay, top story. Trump and Xi wrap up 2 days in Beijing. Strategist, what was the frame?
So the split was actually pretty interesting. Left-leaning outlets led with what didn't happen. No major deals, no real breakthroughs.
The constructive stability headline, which is basically diplomatic for we didn't fight.
Exactly. Constructive stability is the geopolitical version of we had a good conversation.
Meaningful eye contact. Strong handshake.
Right. Meanwhile, the right framed it as a win. Boeing jets, Xi promising not to arm Iran, Trump claiming a lot of problems settled.
So, two completely different summits depending on where you read.
Same 2 days, same Zhongnanhai. Two different realities.
Strategist, the Iran angle. Xi pledges no military equipment to Iran. How big a deal is that, actually?
It depends entirely on what you think Xi's word is worth right now. That's the frame nobody really interrogated.
And the Iran ceasefire is, quote, on life support, according to 19 sources this week. So the timing of that pledge is interesting.
Trump needs Xi to hold the Iran line while the Iran deal is collapsing. That's a lot of pressure on a vague commitment.
And the 200 Boeing jets? That's the headline that travels. That's the number people remember.
But here's the thing. No contract signed, no delivery timeline, no financing terms announced. It's a pledge. It's vibes with a number attached.
Vibes with a number attached. Forecaster, did the markets move on any of this?
Boeing stock had a nice pop when the jet order dropped, but broader markets muted. The money was not convinced this summit moved the needle on actual trade policy.
That tracks, because the structural issues, rare earths, tech transfer, tariffs, none of that got resolved.
Right, and nobody headlined rare earths unresolved. They headlined the jets.
The rare earths are the story. China controls over 80% of global processing. That's leverage that didn't move.
And the AI safety talks? No date given. Bessent announced it, but there's nothing concrete there either.
So the substance was thin, the optics were warm, and the press split on which one to cover.
Which is kind of the whole show, right? Every week.
Every week. Okay, let's talk OpenAI, because this trial has been running 3 weeks, and it keeps getting weirder. Strategist Nadella on the stand.
Yeah. So Nadella's testimony was genuinely significant, and I think it got underplayed. He basically confirmed, under oath, that Microsoft expected financial returns from day one.
Which is Musk's entire case. That's the argument. OpenAI was never purely nonprofit in practice.
And Nadella also said Musk never raised concerns with him personally, which is the defense's counter, that Musk knew and was fine with it.
So both sides got something from Nadella's testimony.
Yeah, but look, the OpenAI IPO market is sitting at 77% odds they don't IPO by end of 2026. That number barely moved this week, despite 3 weeks of trial.
The money is saying this trial isn't going to force an IPO on any timeline.
The money is saying the trial is noise. 77%. That's conviction.
I'd push back a little. The character attack on Altman, that's a long game. Even if Musk loses, he's spending months putting Altman's judgment on trial publicly.
Oh, that's a really good point, actually.
Okay, but the markets don't price reputation damage. They price outcomes. And the outcome probability hasn't moved.
Forecaster making the case that vibes don't matter.
For prediction markets, vibes don't count until they do. And right now, they don't.
All right, blind spot time. And this week, it's actually a pattern, not just one story. Strategist, you flagged it.
So this week's blind spot skew is almost entirely right. We had 5 significant stories that right-leaning outlets largely missed or minimized.
Walk me through them fast.
Hantavirus and Trump health cuts. Right, mostly quiet. Bangkok train crash killing 8. Right, mostly quiet. UK Labour leadership race. Right, mostly quiet. Rwanda genocide suspect Felician Kabuga dying in custody at The Hague. Right, mostly quiet.
Wait, the Rwanda genocide architect died in custody at The Hague, and the right didn't cover it?
Barely. And the Alabama voting rights rally. Thousands of people. Also, minimal right side coverage.
That's a striking pattern. 5 stories, all pointing the same direction.
Okay, but I want to push back on calling that a blind spot versus just editorial prioritization. The Beijing summit was consuming everything this week.
The Bangkok train crash is not a Beijing summit story. That's just a gap.
Fair. Yeah, that one's harder to explain.
The Kabuga one bothers me most. That's a historical accountability story. It doesn't have a political valence.
Unless you think international institutions like The Hague are ideologically coded, which some right audiences do.
There it is.
The frame within the frame.
Okay, let's do the Hantavirus story, because this one has layers. Forecaster, the cruise ship situation.
Right, so MV Hondius, luxury expedition ship, Andes Hantavirus strain, 3 dead, 18 Americans flown back, 16 in Nebraska, 2 in Atlanta. The ship is sailing to Rotterdam for disinfection.
And the Andes strain specifically. Strategist, that's the detail that matters here.
It's the key detail. Most Hantavirus strains cannot spread person to person. The Andes strain can. That's what makes this genuinely unusual.
And Vox specifically led with does not transmit person to person, which is technically true for most strains, but...
But not this strain.
Not this strain. The Guardian framed it as a public health alert. Vox framed it as don't panic. Different emotional registers.
And the WHO Director General publicly praising Spain's response. That's the frame that says, system worked. Which is a choice when the Trump health cuts are in the background.
Right, which is why the right not covering the Trump health cuts complicate response angle is the blind spot.
Although, honestly, the cuts angle is speculative at this stage. We don't have direct evidence the response was hampered.
That's a fair point. The framing got ahead of the evidence there.
Forecaster calling out overselling. I respect it.
It's what I'm here for.
Okay, the Putin missile test. RS-28 Sarmat, most powerful missile in the world. Strategist, the framing on this one was actually interesting.
So, 2 center-left outlets covered it, and the right basically didn't. Which is wild, because this is a nuclear-capable ICBM test.
The right didn't cover Russia testing a nuclear missile?
It was a thin week for Russia-Ukraine coverage on the right. The Beijing summit ate the oxygen.
But there's also a narrative reason. Covering Putin's missile tests prominently while Trump is shaking hands in Beijing is a complicated editorial call.
Oh, that's interesting. You're saying the right had an incentive to downplay it for the summit frame to land cleanly.
I think that's a plausible read. Don't complicate the America is winning diplomacy story with also Russia just tested a nuclear missile.
Editor's note. I think the strategist might be slightly overreading that one.
Maybe. But the timing correlation is real.
I'd want more data before calling that an intentional editorial choice versus just bandwidth limitations.
Noted. Fair caveat. All right. What the money thinks. Forecaster, take it.
Okay, so the most insane market move this week. Paloma Valencia, Colombian presidential candidate. Her odds swung 47.7% in 1 week. She was at 2.2% probability to win the first round.
47% swing to end up at 2%?
She moved to 2.2. So she collapsed. Something happened in Colombian politics that basically ended her first round viability. And the markets priced it fast.
And English language media covered that Not at all.
Not at all. 47% swing on a presidential race. Silence.
That's a significant gap. The money knew something the coverage didn't reflect.
Then you've got Tennessee governor race. Republicans at 74% moved 17 points in a week. That's a race getting cleaner for the GOP.
Which tracks with the national environment right now. Republicans are feeling confident about state-level races.
And Wisconsin governor going the other direction. Republicans down to 19%. So it's not uniform.
Wisconsin's staying blue territory, even in the current environment.
19%. That's a long shot. The money does not see Wisconsin flipping.
The divergence between Tennessee and Wisconsin is actually a story about which swing states are really swinging and which are just framed as contested.
Ooh, that's a good frame. Media loves to call Wisconsin a toss-up. The markets disagree.
By a lot. 19% is not a toss-up. That's a lean blue state.
And the South Dakota Senate race, Democrats at 7.7%. That moved 5 points.
That moved from barely possible to still barely possible, but hey, progress.
All right, rapid fire. Three stories, fast. Arcadia mayor resigns after pleading guilty to being a Chinese agent. Go.
Federal prosecution, covert foreign agent charge, maximum 10 years. She resigned the same day the charge was announced.
60,000 person city in LA County. This is hyper-local becoming national because of the China espionage frame.
And the timing, Trump-Xi summit week, could not have been worse optics for Beijing.
Or better, depending on which side you're covering.
CIA Director Ratcliffe in Havana. Go.
Highest-ranking Trump official to visit Cuba. Agenda was intelligence, economic stability, security. Fox specifically covered this.
And the U.S. fuel blockade is pushing Cuba into an actual energy crisis. So Ratcliffe shows up right when Cuba is desperate. That's leverage.
That is leverage. Cuba presented evidence it poses no threat to U.S. national security. That's a country negotiating from weakness.
Classic intelligence diplomacy. Show up when they need something, get something back.
Texas Children's Hospital Gender Detransition Clinic. 30 seconds.
$10 million settlement, 5 physicians terminated. Paxton calls it the nation's first gender detransition clinic. Settlement, not a court ruling.
The framing on first gender detransition clinic is doing enormous work. Paxton coined that term. Most outlets just used it.
That's a really good catch. He named it. They repeated it. The term becomes the story.
And the $10 million goes to the state, not to patients. That detail got lost.
That's a significant detail.
All right. What to watch next week? Strategist, go.
I'm watching how the Boeing jet pledge gets followed up. Either it gets a contract date or it quietly disappears. That's the tell on how real the summit outcomes were.
Good one. I'm watching the OpenAI trial. Altman is expected to testify, and the IPO probability hasn't moved. If that number shifts, something happened in the courtroom.
I'm watching the Iran ceasefire. 19 sources covering it this week. Trump said the counteroffer was garbage. If that falls apart, everything from the Beijing summit reframes instantly.
The Xi pledge not to arm Iran becomes immediately testable.
Yeah, that's the thread that unravels everything.
Real fast, the Kevin Warsh Federal Reserve confirmation. 23 sources this week. We didn't get to it.
Warsh confirmed as Fed chair, replacing Powell. Markets are still pricing in what that means for rate path. Watch the 10-year.
And watch how the coverage splits. The left framed it as political capture of the Fed. The right as necessary recalibration.
Constructive stability for monetary policy.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, exactly that.
That's Signal Noise Weekly. Every story we covered, and the ones that got missed, are sourced and analyzed at s2n.news. Go check it out. We'll see you next week.